Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Have you ever trusted something that you thought you could trust and was reliable, but it actually ended up letting you down? So here's a couple examples. You trusted your alarm clock, and then you woke up 2 hours late, right? Have you been there? You trusted your weather app, 0% chance of rain, and now you're standing in the downpour with your picnic in your hands. You trusted your gas gauge, and you ended up walking down the highway, right? I don't know if you've been there. When I was younger, you know what I used to trust all the time? Because I didn't know better. I used to trust that if you made it around 10 o'clock at night to McDonald's and you asked for a milkshake, you would be able to get one. And then I realized the milkshake machine goes down at like 8:30 every night, and you can't get one from there ever, right? But we've all trusted things that don't deserve our trust. And where I'm going with this is the same is true when it comes to religion. When we're talking about religion, we can put our trust in it and it will let us down. It doesn't deserve our trust. Religion like, if I keep the rules, if I'm good enough, if I do the traditions, if I try enough, then God will be happy with me and he'll bless me. Here's the problem. Religion will always let you down. Let me say that again, because that's really, really important to grasp, is that religion will always let you down. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And so, as Mary mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, open up to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. We're going to be spending time there today. While you're going there, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Really glad every one of you are here today, September 14th. Great day to be in the house today. I want to welcome all of our guests who are here today, everybody joining us at Lighthouse Online. Thank you for being here with us today. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we just take a moment and can we welcome all of our guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online and let them know that we're glad you're here. We love you guys. We're so glad you're taking time out of your Sunday morning to be with us, to open up the scriptures, to worship Jesus, to discover what does it look like to walk with the Lord. We're kicking off a brand new series today we're calling Missed It, How to Escape Religion and Find Genuine Faith, right? Breaking free from religion to find genuine faith. And so what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks is we're going to look at Matthew chapter 12, because it's actually chock full of these encounters between Jesus and religious leaders. And I think as we look at this these passages and we talk about them, we're going to start to see the difference between religion and genuine faith, how we can walk with Jesus in genuine faith and actually discern and stiff-arm religion that tries to creep into our lives. And so that's the goal over the next few weeks. Before we go any further, let's pause and take a moment to pray. God, it is very tempting in this moment to overestimate our own abilities. And I think that for myself, and I imagine many others would see that in their own lives too, that overestimate our own abilities to solve problems and challenges on our own. For me to overestimate my abilities to communicate truth without relying on the Holy Spirit in this moment. And so what I am asking is that you would clearly open up our eyes, ears, and hearts to engage with the truth of the scripture and to let the Spirit do his work of applying that to our spirits and to our lives and helping us to step into a greater degree of faith in Jesus Christ wherever we are on our journey. And so I do pray for people who they haven't said yes to you and they're learning and discovering and trying to find out what is this whole Jesus thing about, that maybe today would be the day that they step into the light of Christ and see things like they will never see them ever again. I pray for those who have been walking with you for months, years, perhaps even decades, to know that you are still calling us into life transformation. We don't live off of the experiences of yesterday or years ago, but but we walk freshly with you today. And so call us into that and grant us the faith and the courage to do that. We ask these things with great boldness, but also in humility before the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so here's what I want to do. What I want to set up really quickly, we're going to walk through two reasons why you should trust Jesus and you shouldn't trust religion, okay? Two reasons why you should trust Jesus and you shouldn't trust religion. We're going to pull those out of Matthew chapter 12, but I'm going to give you the first one. The first one is religion distorts truth, Jesus reveals truth. This is the core understanding of why you should distrust religion and you should trust Jesus instead. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1 and just read a couple of the passages together. I'm going to read it. You can listen along. It says this, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and he began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And he answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So this is the first encounter that Jesus has with the Pharisees in this moment. And what's going on is the Pharisees have accused the disciples of breaking the law, and specifically breaking the law regarding Sabbath. Now, for some in this room, you might go, what's a Sabbath? The only Sabbath I know about is the black one, and the guy that led that just died recently, right? It's not a band from the 80s. Sabbath is actually this 24-hour period of time where the Jews would rest from their work. It started Friday night, and it went on for 24 hours until Saturday night. And so it was for this time period, they would rest from their work, they would reflect on their lives, they would enjoy the Lord for an entire day. And so in this moment, the Pharisees are accusing the disciples of breaking the Sabbath, because what they were doing is they were plucking heads of grain out of the field, which is lawful to do, so they weren't stealing. The culture had set up to do that, and they were breaking them open and eating them. And so the Pharisees were saying, you're doing work on the Sabbath, and you're breaking the law. Now I wonder, have you ever been a part of like a rumor or gossip? Right. I know nobody in here, but I mean like other people, right, that are out there, you know. Maybe you've heard stories of rumors and gossip. I know you never have. But what's interesting about rumors and about gossip is this. It usually starts out with somebody going, did you hear what so-and-so said? And you go, no. And then they tell you, right? Or they tell someone else. And then that person finds another person and goes, did you hear what so-and-so said? And they go, no. And they tell. And by the time you get to the fifth layer of the rumor or the gossip, it doesn't look anything like what the original statement was said, right? It's like changed so many times by the time you just get to the fifth or the sixth iteration on that thing, right? Religion is spiritual gossip. That's what religion is. It's spiritual gossip, and it twists God's original intent. That's what was going on here. The Pharisees had twisted God's word and added their own rules on top of it and around it until it got so distorted, it was very hard to understand what the original intention was. Let me give you some examples. The Pharisees had created rules like this on the Sabbath. You're only allowed to take so many steps on a Sabbath day journey. And as soon as you take one more than that, now you're sinning and you're guilty. They had a law where a tailor, right, somebody who makes clothes for a living, it was a sin for a tailor to carry a needle on the Sabbath. Why? Because they, while they're walking along, there's so many steps, they might trip and fall and sew a pair of pants on their way down and come up, right? And they will have done work, and now you're guilty of sin. On the Sabbath, you were not allowed to spit. Probably a good idea anyways, but they're not allowed to spit. Let me tell you why. You would be making mud, and that is work. My favorite is you're only allowed to dip the radish in the salt for so long on the Sabbath, because if it sits in the salt for much longer, you've now crossed over into pickling, which is work, right? I'm telling you, and there's more. That's just four quick examples. There's more examples that if you did these things, you were now declared a sinner, you're opposed to God, and you have to find forgiveness. If not, you're in big, big trouble. So the Pharisees accused the Jesus disciples of sinning, and Jesus' response is essentially this: you don't understand the scriptures. That's his response to the Pharisees. I know you're supposed to be teachers of the law. I know you're in charge of the synagogue, but you don't really understand the scriptures. In fact, because you don't understand the scriptures, you are condemning people of sin for things that are not sin. That's what he says to these religious leaders. And so he brings two case studies from the scriptures. One is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and this is King David. He's running for his life, and him and his men, they're absolutely starving. They come across the consecrated bread that's there in the temple, and David says, can we have that? We're going to die. We're starving. And the priest says, yes. And the law says only the priest is allowed to eat the consecrated bread, but he chose to give it to David and to his companions, right? And so Jesus says there's one case study. He says another case study, which is found in Numbers chapter 28, is the priest, right? They're still performing the daily sacrifices in the temple, right? So they're giving fellowship offerings and offerings for sin and all that. He goes, you know, they're working in the temple on the Sabbath. And so there's almost tongue in cheek, right? They're desecrating the temple, and yet they're innocent. Why? Why is it that the priest was okay to give the consecrated bread to David? Why is it okay for the priest to perform sacrifices in the temple on Sabbath, even though it's clearly work? Right? You can't deny that. And what Jesus does is he says, go and understand what this verse means. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. In fact, let's do this. This is short. Let's read this out loud together, starting with, for I desire mercy. This is God speaking, by the way. Are you ready? Go. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Right? Jesus' point here is this. And he says this in other ways in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. But essentially what he says is this. The law was made to help man. Man was not made to help the law. This is what Jesus is saying. The law is there to help man encounter God. Man is not there to help the law. He's distinguishing religion from walking with God. Religion distorts the truth. You have to understand that. There is a common saying out there that goes like this, that all religions are the same. Maybe you've heard this before, right? All religions are the same. Many rivers all leading to the same ocean. Many branches all leading to the same tree. And so what the point is in that is, like, you know, everybody has their own little unique things when it comes to it, but they're all essentially the same, and they all lead to the same exact place. All religions are the same. I agree with that. Let me tell you why I agree with that. Because there are all kinds of religions out there. There are spiritual religions, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. There are political religions that are out there. There are financial religions that are there. You have health religions. You have sports religions. Right? Like, just think about it for a moment. When you begin to look at the different ideologies that are out there, they really boil down to religions. And what they all do is they distort the truth. Right? There's a truth that God has revealed about himself and about life that's out there, and every religion distorts them. And how they distort them is this: follow these rules to a better, more successful life. That's the basic tenet of every single religion. Follow these rules, be like us, and if you will, then your life will be better and your life will be successful. What is helpful to understand about every single religion is this, is that religion is man's attempt to get to God. It's us under our own effort, under our own power, trying to fit whatever rules we like the most or we think will help us the most. And it's an attempt to crawl and scratch and climb our way to God under our own ability. And I want to say something. Even Christianity has a religion that is just as deadly as every other one that's out there. There is a Christian religion that will actually lead you away from walking with Jesus than staying in step with him. Every religion is God, is man's attempt to get to God. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. This is not why he showed up. In fact, when he showed up, he's constantly cutting through all of the garbage that has gotten in the way. In fact, Jesus is, it's God's way of coming to us. This isn't about you figuring out how to get yourself to God. This is God coming and showing up to us. And Jesus was so clear about this, right? In John chapter 14, verse 6, this is what he said. You've probably read this. If you've been in the church, you've heard this before. But let's read this one out loud together as well. This is an important passage, starting with Jesus' answer. Are you ready? Go. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is what Jesus, he's like, listen, You don't get to God by following the rules. That's not how this works. You don't get to God by following the rules. In fact, the way it actually works is God gets into you through Jesus. That's how it works. This isn't about you making your way there. This is about God making his way into our lives. And there's a lot of passages, but there's one in particular that I find really, really helpful that comes out of Titus chapter 3. And this is talking about God and Jesus. Starting in verse 5, he says, "He saved us, but not because of anything we had done to gain his approval. Instead, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. God poured out a generous amount of the Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As a result, God in his kindness has given us his approval, and we have become heirs who have the confidence that we have everlasting life." What this is saying is, what do you bring to the table in order to be saved and made right with God? You know what Titus 3 says? Nothing. You know what I brought to the table when I came to faith in Jesus? My mess, my sin, my broken life, my wonky way of thinking about things and how life works and should work, right? That's what I brought to the table. And the whole time, the Spirit's drawing me. Jesus has already accomplished all of the work in the world, on the cross and out of the grave and ascended to the Father, right? All of that's happened. It's been accomplished. So here's just a question to consider for a moment. Here's the question. Where have I been trusting the rules of religion instead of Jesus? Or maybe where have I been trusting the rules of religion more than Jesus? If you take time to really meditate on that thought, actually the Spirit will cause you to begin touching on things going, oh, I didn't realize, right? And how truth ends up getting distorted. I want to give you a next step that might be helpful for you. It's actually on your blue card. If you flip over, look in the back, it's the second one down. It says, next step today is reading the Bible this week with one question. What does this teach me about God? That's a really great next step that you could take. You know, read the Bible. If you don't have a reading plan, I think a reading plan is such a good idea. And let me tell you why. You save so much time trying to figure out where should I read today. Right? Even this morning, I'm opening up scriptures. I'm not going, oh, where could I read? Could I read here? Could I read there? No. I know exactly where I'm going because my plan told me, right? I'm in Obadiah and I'm in Jeremiah. And then I was also in the Psalms and 1 Peter, right? Because that's the plan that I'm on. And so I'm spending time in there. I don't have to think about it. And rather than asking, right, reading a passage and saying, okay, what rule do I need to follow? Instead, ask this question. What does this reveal to me about God? What does this teach me about Jesus? Right? That's where you live. That's quite frankly, that's where I live. And so I wanted to pull out this morning, just for a quick moment. This is my notebook. I spend time in the Word and I write down thoughts when I'm reading. And I thought maybe I'd just throw out a couple of things from my own reading. I had a couple I was going to look at from the previous day, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to share with you what I read this morning. And like I mentioned, I was in 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 7 really just grabbed my attention this morning, which says this: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that passage just like grabbed my attention this morning. And I started writing some things down about the Lord. What does it say about the Lord? Well, it says things like this: God wants my anxiety more than I want it, right? That passage also says that God has the ability to carry all my worries and all my fears. And I don't have to. And here's the one I underlined, circled, and highlighted. God cares about me. That's a truth that some of you in this room, some of you joining online, you need to hear that. You need to know God cares about you. He loves you deeply. He loves you so much that he took your problem, he made it his problem, and he solved it through Jesus Christ. That's how much God cares about you. Right? And here's the crazy thing. You might not care about God, but God cares deeply about you. That's who this God is. And as I began to think about this and just really pray and ask the Spirit to open my mind to that, I began to realize I tend to hang on to my anxieties way longer than I should. I try to scheme and plot and plan on how I'm going to overcome these things and show God how much he can trust me with the problems in my life. That's stupid. He says, no, cast, throw them to me, right? Give them to me because I love you and I care about you. Invite Jesus to reveal truth in your life. Man, don't trust religion. It'll distort truth. Here's the second reason why I think we should trust Jesus and distrust religion. Second reason is this: religion hurts people. Jesus heals people. We see that again if you look at the next passage in the encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees, starting in verse 9. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Right? This is the Pharisees asking that question. And he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to them, stretch out your hand. So he stretched out his hand and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees, check this out. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. This passage blows my mind in a remarkable way. So everybody's in the synagogue. Jesus is there, Pharisees are there, disciples are there, there's other people there. And they're in the synagogue, and the Pharisees decided to use this man with a shriveled hand as bait. That's what they're doing. Do me a favor, raise your hand, or let me know in the chat if you're online. Say, I have, or I've been there. Raise your hand if you've ever played paintball in your life. Raise your hand nice and high. Let us know in the chat if you play paintball. Okay, so a lot of you know. Okay, so paintball started getting big when I was like eighth grade, ninth grade in our area. And so all my friends were already doing it. And they're like, dude, you got to come out and play with us. So I was like, okay, I'll come play paintball with you. And I didn't know anything about anything. So they suit me all up, right? They give me a mask, all this stuff. Give me like the worst gun you can possibly have. And we played in this area. And my friend, so it's like you break into two teams, kind of this capture the flag type deal. And we're in these two teams. And my friend's like, okay, you wait here. You wait here. And we're going to draw them out. And when you see them come out, right, then you just fill them full of paint. And I was like, I can do that. I can do that. So I'm like waiting. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. And like nothing's happening. I'm like, man, what is going on around here? So all of a sudden I hear, and then I go, ow, 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 right? Like I'm getting hit with paintballs in this moment. And the other team is like filling me up with paintballs. And I'm like, ah. And then I hear this other like cry from across the way. And you know, this like battle cry. And I hear more. And now my team is beating those guys with their paintball. You know what had happened? You know what my friends did? They used me as bait, right? They're like, you stay here. You get the guys. All right? That's what the Pharisees were doing with this guy in the synagogue. They were using him as bait. They didn't care about this guy at all. They were using him to try to trap Jesus on his word. In his own words, Jesus, is it legal to do good on the Sabbath or to heal on the Sabbath? Right? It was a setup. And so what Jesus does is he uses another case study. This time he uses it from life. And he goes, hey, if you had a sheep, sheep aren't smart, but if you had a sheep and it fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you get it out? And everybody in the synagogue knows, well, yeah, of course. Of course you would get the sheep out. Why? The sheep is your livelihood. This is how you earn money. This is how you build and grow your wealth. Sometimes this is what you have for food. Of course you would take care of the sheep and pull the sheep out of a pit on Sabbath. And then Jesus says this, people are more valuable than animals. People are more valuable than money. People are more valuable than politics. People are more valuable than whatever you want to throw in there, than sports, than money, than wealth, than comfort. People are more valuable. And so what Jesus responds is he says, the Sabbath was made to do good. In fact, that's what the Sabbath is about. It's about doing the most good. Resting, reflecting on God, pointing other people to hope in Jesus. And so the Pharisees used this man, but Jesus healed this man. I want you to think about this. He healed this man on the Sabbath with four words. Stretch out your hand. Here's a question. What work did Jesus do in that moment? Nothing. No work according to the scriptures, and not even any work according to the Pharisees' own rules and laws. He did nothing. Here's what's amazing to me about religion. The religious leaders saw this miracle happen, and they didn't even rejoice with the guy. You have two fully functional hands. How amazing. You never have to deal with the issue you dealt with before. They wouldn't even rejoice with the guy. The religious leaders weren't even wowed by the fact that in front of their own eyes, a man was healed in a way that nobody could ever deal with. They couldn't even celebrate the work of God in that moment. Do you know what the religious leaders did in that moment? They left and they went out to plot Jesus' murder on the Sabbath. They're upset about Jesus healing someone, and they're blind to the fact that they're plotting murder on the same exact day. Religion will blind you. Religion hurts the people it engages with, right? And it's easy to look at the Pharisees and go, ah, listen, religion hurts the people who follow it. It also hurts the people who lead it. So don't make it seem like the Pharisees are getting off and they're fine and they're the heroes in this thing. They're just as trapped as everyone else. It blinds them to the truth all the way to the point. If you were here last week, if you remember, Jesus said, there are going to be people, disciples, when you go out to share the gospel, they are going to kill you thinking they're doing a worship unto God. They're so blind to the truth that they don't even realize the character and the heart of God. This is how religion hurts people. But Jesus heals people. You see it all throughout the gospel, right? There's all these physical healings, by the way, right? If you look throughout the gospel, there's these physical healings. Jesus gives sight to the blind. He allows the deaf to hear, gives mute the ability to talk, the lame walk. He even raises people from the physical death while he's on the earth doing ministry, okay? All that's going on in here. And he was actually healing people, but can I tell you, every one of those healings was actually pointing to a deeper healing that every single human being could experience. And that's the healing of your soul. That is the deepest ailment that every single one of us has. And you can be physically fit and spiritually broken, and you are in a worse condition than somebody who's physically broken and spiritually whole. Every physical healing was actually pointing to the deeper healing that Jesus would do of our souls. This is what 1 Peter chapter 2 was talking about. This is talking about Jesus, by the way, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This is a central passage to understand. Freedom from sin and freedom to walk with God is the greatest healing that you can ever experience. Let me say that again. Freedom from sin and freedom to walk with God is the greatest healing you can ever experience. And I recognize that in this room, and some joining online, like you carry the wounds and the hurts from religion. Shame. Pressure, judgment, more that we don't even have time to talk about. Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus wants to heal you from that. He cares about you. He loves you. It's an invitation to know him. And some of you carry wounds in your body. And I want to tell you this. Jesus may not always heal you physically now and in the here and in this world. But he promises to heal your soul forever. And when you leave this world, you get a whole new body, baby, right? You never have to worry about the ailments you deal with now, right? You're never going to have to get the news that you're pre-diabetic, right? You're never going to get the news that your cholesterol is a little high. You're never going to get the news, right, that your body is breaking down more rapid than you could ever imagine. Jesus can heal you of all of that, and he'll do that completely one day. But religion hurts and Jesus heals. And it was making me think about the fact that, you know, some of you know my story of coming to faith. And my story is like I was outside of the church. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't come to know him until later in life. And so, you know, when somebody shared with me about who Jesus was and what he had done and he'd accomplished, I'm like, this is all news to me. And some of you relate to that story. But there's others of you here in the room and joining online, that story doesn't resonate with you at all. In fact, your story is like the opposite. You were raised in the church. From the moment like you were born, you were being told God loves you and God has a plan for you. And you know all kinds of passages and you can't remember a time in your life where you didn't know who God was or have some level of belief in him in your life. And I want to tell you this, that in my time at Lighthouse Community, I have come across people that story after story of people have told me they grew up in church or they grew up in religion, right? They knew all this stuff, but they would also tell you, and they're in their 30s or in their 40s or 50s, they're older, right? They've spent decades in the church, in religion, and they have told me it wasn't until recently that I actually came to faith in Jesus Christ. I've always believed, I always knew there was a God, I always knew the scripture was true, but it wasn't until recently that the Holy Spirit cut through the religion of my life and led me into genuine faith. And it's all different now. And I understand and I see what I had missed all that time before. Religion distorts the truth. Religion hurts the people in it and leading it. But Jesus reveals truth. Jesus is the one who heals people. And so I'm telling you, man, don't trust religion, any form of it. Trust Jesus. And in fact, that's what I want to leave you with today. Do you want to know what the number one way to break free from religion? It's this. Put your faith in Jesus. This is the only way to break free. You don't need a better form of religion. You don't need a better philosophy. You don't need a better way to talk about it. You need faith in Jesus. That's it. That's the only way you find freedom and you break free from religion in your life. What does that look like practically? Very quickly, you have to begin by admitting religion cannot save you. No form. Whether it's political religion, health religion, sports religion, financial religion, spiritual religion, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, they all fall short, right? It can't save you. You know what religion is? Religion is the costume that sin wears. You have to admit that religion can't save you. Here's the second way. You have to believe that Jesus is God and the only way to be with God. Jesus made two statements in the passages we read. Something greater than the temple is here, and the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What is he saying about himself? What's the only thing greater than the temple? The one the temple points to, God himself. If Jesus is the Lord of Sabbath, what's he saying? Who created Sabbath? God. Jesus is saying, I'm him. I'm him. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. I want you to know this. He died for sinners to bring you to God. You don't get you to God. Jesus gets you to God. Jesus is the one who brings God and puts him in you. You have to believe. That's the only way, right? He's God, and he's the only way to be with God. Here's the last one. Choose to trust Jesus the rest of your life. It's a first-time choice, and it's a choice you make every single day. This morning when I got up, I needed to freshly again make the decision. My life belongs to you, Jesus. You get to be in control. You get to be in charge. You're the leader. I'm not. You're the savior. I'm the one who needs saving. It's a decision that gets made every single day. And I want to throw out a question for you to consider today, throughout the week, and it's this. Am I blinded by religion? Or am I focused on Jesus? Those are two different things. They could not be farther away from each other. They look almost the same, but actually when you start digging in them, they couldn't be farther away. Religion distorts the truth. Religion hurts people. Religion blinds our eyes. Don't trust it. Trust Jesus instead. Jesus reveals truth. Jesus heals you, and Jesus will open your eyes to that which is actually true. He's the only one worthy of being trusted. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close each teaching the same way with this question. Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance here in this room and those joining online to just think about what God is saying to you in this moment. God, I want to pray for friends in this room and joining at Lighthouse Online that right now your Spirit has been opening their eyes, that they have been leaning on and relying on religion in whatever form. And likely, you know, I think about my own life, that's come out in multiple forms, not just one. And here's my prayer for them, God, that the tension they're feeling right now of going, I think I see what the Bible's talking about. And there's this joy and there's this desire and this to step into that. And at the same time, there's this fear. I don't know if I want to do that because I know what this religion expects of me. I don't know what it looks like through that door. Holy Spirit, would you make it really clear to them that if they'll step through that, if they'll leave religion and step into genuine faith, there is freedom to know you. There is joy that comes from walking with God. There is this deep, deep abiding peace of being aware that the Spirit of God lives in me and I belong to God himself. And I'll be with him one day in all of his fullness, no matter what happens to me in this world and on this earth. And every day really does become this journey of adventure. Where are we going today, God? What are you going to do in me? What are you going to do through me today, Holy Spirit? It is really good to leave religion and to step into faith.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.